First up today to India, where what began as a satirical social media project has become a successful mass protest movement and overnight has forced the resignation of India's education minister, Dharmendra Pradhan. Al Jazeera says it's the first time a cabinet member of Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government has been forced to resign by popular pressure. The Cockroach Junta Party, or CJP, isn't actually a registered political party, but its name is a parody of the name of Modi's party, the BJP, and also a reference to the Chief Justice of India, referring to some young people as cockroaches. The CJP has gained 25 million Instagram followers in just a few weeks, which is more than the BJP has. And this week, its supporters came to the streets of India IRL, sit-in protests sparked by leaks on the national exams for admissions to medical schools became a mass march on India's parliament that was then violently suppressed by police. But the protests continued and overnight the education minister resigned. The CJP has now called off the protests but says this is just the beginning. ACLED is an independent monitoring organisation that compiles real-time data on violent conflict and protest around the world. Pearl Pandya is ACLED's South Asia senior analyst. And I spoke with Pearl shortly before the education minister resigned, but we will hear about Pearl's response to that news a little later. I began by welcoming Pearl to the program.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Firstly, I wonder if you could provide us a bit of context about what these exam paper leaks were and why they triggered such a massive response.
Admissions in India's colleges, whether this particular exam paper was for admissions in medical colleges, but in general, whether that's engineering, law, they are governed by standardized national level competitive examinations. Millions of students sit it every year, and it's sort of your gateway to the next stage after school. And it's hyper-competitive given the population of India, and you get one chance to get it right. What happened this year was the NEET exam, which governs admissions in medical colleges. The exam paper was leaked, and so everyone who gave it once, spending years preparing in anxiety, was forced to retake the test. And this didn't take place in isolation. The NEET paper was leaked previously in 2024. And since the Modi government took power in 2014, more than 150 exam papers have been leaked. And for the protesters and for the students, this is not a one-off issue. It speaks to a wider strain of limited opportunities which they see in the country, whether that's first when it comes to entering higher education, and even if you graduate, then in the job market. And it's this weight of unfulfilled aspirations which finally spilled out. And I think the movement is now a lot bigger than just the one exam paper leak. It's become a mass movement of broader grievances against the government.
Yes. So what data does ACLED have about protests on the issue of exams, but also how these recent protests has, as you've said, become something very different?
In the last year alone, there were more than 300 protests specifically on examination leaks. And when you think of it, the NEET exam paper was leaked only in May 2026. So protests were happening over other exam papers leaks even before this exam paper was leaked. These were largely led by student unions, which are an active constituency in India, and political parties, mainly the Congress Party, which is the principal opposition party, and some regional parties who sort of see these national exams as against the federal strain of the constitution. What's happened with the CJP protests is that they've become a lot broader in the people who are participating. So when we see and hear testimonials from protesters, they are unaligned to any political party or student unions. Many openly say that they voted for the BJP and are now upset, or that they've not told their parents they are there because their parents are BJP supporters. These are young people, and they are it's become an organic movement. And it's interesting because the character has changed. The march on Monday was against this exam paper leak, and it was to demand the resignation of the education minister. That was violently suppressed with batons, tear gas shelling, paramilitary forces apparently using pellet guns, which are non-lethal weapons, as the government clarifies, though they result in mass injuries. And since that, it has the protests which have since emerged also are against grievances against this crackdown. So it's become broader than the exam paper leak. Now it's about accountability in general from this government, which has long been seen as autocratic, suppressing dissent, and their latest actions are giving fillip to the sentiment.
So, Pearl, in that context, what actually is the Cockroach Junta Party? And do you see the protests now as CJP protests, or have they transcended that title?
I think they've transcended the title. The demands are a lot broader. The CJP itself is not that organized a group. It started fairly recently. Some of the people involved in the leadership of the CJP were previously aligned with a political party, the Aam Aadmi Party, but they've since left and say this is nonpartisan. But the protests themselves have now outgrown the CJP. They are about bigger issues, about accountability from the government in general, about protecting democracy in India, which is often underrated, but it is a sentiment which is very strongly held across the country and at all levels of the country. I always find it very interesting that in the last elections that we had in 2024, one of the reasons which the voters gave for their choice of vote was that they believed democracy was under threat. And this was not in your usual milieus in urban India. This was in the villages. And it's this sentiment which is again coming out in these protests. The CJP is emerged as a vessel for the underlying discontent, but the movement is now bigger than them. I mean, the CJP is, it's a new party. They are only organizing the protests in Delhi, in Jantar Mantar. But what we have now seen are protests across India, in the metro cities, Bombay, Bangalore, but also in the smaller cities like Ahmedabad, Surat, and it's, which are all in Modi's home state. And so these protests have spread to places where the CJP has no base.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Pearl Pandya, who's ACLED's South Asia Senior Analyst, about these youth protests, sparked perhaps by the CJP, but now much bigger than that. So I suppose the question then is, Pearl, does this broader protest movement have a leadership that the BJP government can deal with? How do these rising tensions get resolved?
That's the interesting thing about this movement and this generation, that it's all being spread through social media. And I think that's the narrative that the government has to contend with. It has to reach these protesters through a medium and not through negotiations with a leadership. They have tried having talks with the CJP leadership. They didn't work. We're already seeing fissures between the CJP leadership and another educationist, Sonam Wangchuk, who held a hunger strike for more than 20 days, who's still on hunger strike. He has said that a consultation or a conversation on the education minister's resignation would be enough to hurt the movement. The CJP itself has said that no, that will not be enough. Only the actual resignation will satisfy us. And so those are the first cracks emerging. But the more it cracks down on protesters, the more it's likely that the demands also change, that they evolve from resignation of the education minister to perhaps accountability from the home minister under whom policing falls. And with the centralization that Prime Minister Narendra Modi has always propagated in his style of governance, the buck stops with him. So ultimately, that is where that would be the natural conclusion of the protests to evolve. I'm not saying that will happen. It seems fairly unlikely. That's not how political change happens in India. And we are still a long way away from the 2029 national elections. But what this has done is dent the persona of Prime Minister Modi as a strongman leader.
Another prominent part of the protest is, as you mentioned, the hunger strike of Sonam Wangchuk. Could you tell us a little bit more about who he is and how significant his contribution to this rising protest movement has been?
He's a very well-renowned educationist from Ladakh in northern India. He actually led a protest movement last year for statehood for Ladakh, which used to be part of Jammu and Kashmir and was then separated into a union territory when the entire territory of Indian administered Kashmir was reconfigured. He was popularly characterized in a Bollywood movie, so he has name recognition across the country and he's very well-respected, like an elderly statesman. When the CJP movement started, got off the ground, he lent his support and began a hunger strike. He wasn't alone. There were also 3-4 student union leaders who were hunger striking alongside him. But Sonam Wangchuk was seen as an elderly statesman, as a well-respected person, a father figure of the protest movement. On the eve of the march to Delhi, he was forcibly removed by the police from the protest site, admitted in hospital, and that really angered the protesters. And it was in that context where the movement became bigger, where you had more people joining and then joining their actual march to parliament. Now we are seeing that the student protesters, the CJP, want him to end his hunger strike and his fast, but with the condition they have pledged that they will continue their protest independently, regardless of whether he breaks his fast, and they will not stop till their demands are met. So he was helpful in bringing the movement together, but his reach in influencing it now may be limited.
Speaking of older leaders, how have other figures like the leader of the opposition Congress Party, Rahul Gandhi, responded to the protests? And then perhaps we can move to how the Prime Minister himself has responded.
The opposition party, the Congress, tried to stay away from the protests initially. They said it was a student-led movement. It's this funny thing where the moment the Congress joins a protest, it's seen as political, and there is an undercurrent that protests in India should be kept apolitical, which is, of course, not how it works. All protests are inherently political. But when the baton charge and tear gas shelling on the protesters took place on Monday, which was the first day of the parliament reopening for the monsoon session, the Congress party and other opposition parties demanded a discussion in parliament. That did not happen. So they went and had a sit-in protest outside the Prime Minister's residence, which is fairly unprecedented. It's not a usual place where we see protests. From there, all opposition MPs, sitting chief ministers, were detained by the police. Rahul Gandhi himself was taken, captured, manhandled, and taken to the police station. And since then, he has said that he stands fully with the students. He echoes the student demands, and he is there as their, not their official spokesperson, but he is here as a conduit for their opinions and their demands, and he will take it up in parliament. This has provided momentum to the opposition party, which was struggling to make a mark, to make a name for Rahul Gandhi himself, but also for the wider opposition, 12 years into Modi's rule, and they will be hoping to tap into this discontent. It remains to be seen whether they'll be successful in that, whether the protest movements will sort of stay independent of the Congress, or whether the Congress will be able to capitalize on the discontent, which is evident among the protesters. But it worries the Prime Minister, because in 2014, the BJP itself rode to power on the back of a similar protest movement. It was a protest movement called India Against Corruption, which was not led by the BJP. It was led by independents and other political parties. And the BJP was able to ride that wave of discontent to come into power. And that is why they are so scared almost of protest movements, because they've seen the power themselves that movements can have on people.
And while the initial response of the authorities was a combination of dismissive and then repressive, the Prime Minister himself has now addressed the protests, and his tone seems to be a bit more conciliatory. How has Narendra Modi responded to these widespread and large-scale youth protests?
It was indeed dismissive in the beginning. On the first day when the March to Parliament took place, we didn't hear a single word from the Prime Minister. All we had was his remarks in a closed meeting of the BJP parliamentary party, which were then relayed by a minister. Now we have tweets saying that he owes the students justice and that he will establish fast-track courts to look at the cases of the actual accused responsible for the paper leaks. But that is still a myopic view of a way of addressing the student demands. The student demands are of accountability. It doesn't end or begin with this one paper leak. It's about the wider system in the government, where nobody has been seen to take responsibility for their failures. And that's something we've seen throughout his term in government. There may be policy U-turns, but there is never any accountability. If ministers have resigned, such as the health minister after the coronavirus pandemic, it's been a while after the actual event. It's never been in response to public pressure. It's always been on Prime Minister Modi's terms, because he sees resignations as an acknowledgement of weakness.
Your role at ACLED is the South Asia senior analyst. And I wondered, Pearl, if you see any similarities between these protests in India and other Gen Z protest movements across South Asia.
No, of course, it's the monsoon of discontent. We had the Bangladesh protests 2 years ago, Nepal last year, South India now. And the issues are the same. It's countries' economies failing to meet the aspirations of the young people who think they've done everything right, and then the system fails them. And the politicians or the political class is unable to tap into it. But what's interesting and similar in India, as was in Bangladesh and Nepal, was that movements change, protest demands change, and how governments respond matters a lot. In Bangladesh also, there were protests which started peacefully, and then it was the police's crackdown which made it into a wider anti-government movement. And that is similar to what we are seeing in India. The anger is now against the government's response and against their inability to listen to people rather than the actual demand, which is now, yes, it's a demand, but it's become a lot bigger. And so a lot of cards are in the government's hands in how it chooses to deal with the protests, whether it has learned the lessons from its neighboring countries. I mean, Sheikh Hasina is living in exile in Delhi, so the BJP government knows how not to deal with protests, but we shall see if they've learned those lessons.
That was Pearl Pandya, South Asia senior analyst at ACLED, reacting to the news of the education minister's resignation. Pearl says that it will force a new level of accountability expectations on the Modi government going all the way to the top. Of course, as she said, the next national elections in India aren't till 2029, which is a long way away. But India's most populous state, Uttar Pradesh, which is ruled by the BJP, has elections next year. So that now looms as a major test of whether opposition parties can capitalise on the youth protest movement. It remains to be seen whether the CJP will become a formal political party. Pearl thinks it's more likely to remain a pressure group, saying it's hard for such movements to hack India's electoral system, which has happened before but is very difficult. So watch this space. This is Julian Morrow with you on Sunday Extra, and it's 24 minutes past 7.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app. Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.